I think it's appropriate, the song that Brother Mark has chosen for us now. I think it's 571?
Yes, sir.
571. Get your book and let's sing Trust and Obey, or as the little girl said, Trust and Okay. And I think we got that this morning, didn't we? All right, let's stand together.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Cloud in the skies, but His love quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other.
Then in fellowship sweet,
then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He says we will go, never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and
let's have them play "I'm So Happy," and here's the reason why. We'll sing it through once or twice, and I want you to fellowship, meet one another, greet one another, and wander around just a little bit and be ready for the next session as we come to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Dr. Parker, he was asked on a plane one time, somebody was looking for Dr. Monroe Parker, I think, and came to him and said, "Are you Dr. Parker?" He said, "Yes." I said, "What kind of a doctor are you?" He said, "I'm a brain surgeon." And I don't think that story you told me about in Winston-Salem, a guy in a cab, and they had the traffic stopped, and the cab driver was going too fast. He was hurrying with this guy in the cab with him, and he locked the thing down and turned it up to avoid traffic, turned that cab over, slid down the interstate on the roof of the thing, and a guy comes crawling out the window of that cab, said, "Get somebody here quick. I'm a doctor. I've got to be at Baptist Hospital doing brain surgery in 30 minutes. Anita, you're glad you didn't have that guy, aren't you? Oh, my. Well, I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Let's sing it, if you will, and then we'll fellowship a little. It helps to smile when you sing this one, okay? I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. Now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burdens all away. Once my heart was heavy with the load of sin, Jesus took the load. Wonderful peace within my heart, and now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burdens away. And those of you who have never met Scott Pauley and like to meet him, he's right back here on this side. A little backslidden this morning since he got in, but he got up early today. early today to get here because he landed at 9:30 or somewhere around that. Aaron picked him up, and they got back here quicker than I thought they would. And I don't know whether that's because his flight was early or because Aaron perhaps hurried a little bit. But nevertheless, they're here, and I want you to greet one another and say hello and enjoy each other a little while. We'll sing it through again. I'm so happy and here's the reason why. You took my burdens all away. Now I'm singing as the days go by. He took my burdens all away. But once my heart was heavy with the load of sin, Jesus took the load and gave me wonderful peace within my heart. And now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burdens all away. All right, now, as you're seated, I want all the preachers to come this way. All the preachers to come this way, come to the platform. All the preachers, come on up, come on up, come on up. Come on, preachers, bring your hymn book, bring your hymn book, bring your hymn book. Everybody else can be seated. All the preachers, come on up. Ray, you're not going to? Okay, all right, I'm not going to insist. Okay, all right. I thought Paul had fallen in line there, but okay. All right, get a hymn book. 575. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. If you want to follow and see how they do, it's okay. But now, here we go, fellas. Now, you can't stand back there and sing. You know this. You wouldn't let anybody in your church get by with that. Move right up here to the front. Move right up here. Come on, Scott. We're going to put Scott right in the microphone. I mean, Scott's a singer. We got Scott here. Man, we got some singers here. We got some singers here this morning. And we got one coffer over here. All right. Brother Shane, come on, move up just a little bit. Come on.
On the carpet.
Come on, Tom. Come on. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
right. Thank you. Thank you, Preacher's Ensemble. Thank you. Well, we just never know who's going to show up, but whoever shows up, we sing. All right. Very good. Very good. Well, Dr. Randy Parker comes to a great high point today in the book of Romans, chapter 5. Chapter 5. Wow. And I'm looking forward to it. I don't know what he has for us today in the direct way that he'll approach it, but I'm excited about hearing it. You've got your Bible open to the book of Romans chapter 5. Dr. Randy Parker, pastor of Bethel Baptist Church in Greenfield. I started to say North Carolina. Don't turn me off on through.
Indiana. Okay. Now, sometimes people say, are you a Hoosier? And I say, no, I'm not. That sounds vulgar. I don't know what a Hoosier is, so I'm not going to be a Hoosier. I'm a Tar Heel. That's a missionary to Indiana. Okay.
What a great preacher. What a great guy. Good looking. Old. Suffering. All those kinds of things. But boy, it's good to have him here.
Amen. It's good to be here in all those capacities.
I tried to mess his hair up one time. It was like a helmet, and you can't.
Hey, listen. The lady who does my hair reaches up and gets a bottle of concrete. That's what she's got there. Amen. Well, I appreciate the message from Brother Shane. And somebody held up a placard. The last placard I saw was after surgery. They came in and they had a little sign. And it said, give us your pain measurement. 0 means no pain. And 10 is you're ready for a 911 call. And I said, do you have anything higher than a 10? And they said, no, that's as high as it goes. But Brother Shane had a 10 there. If that's as high as it goes, that was a great message, and I appreciate it. Always a blessing to hear Brother Shane preach. How it worked out, I'm not sure, but Brother Shane and I are preaching together each time. I'm not talking about Brother Paula, but I thank God I don't have to share the pulpit with Richard Wallace. Amen. Don't be glad about that. Amen. I told Brother Shane this morning at breakfast, I said, they did that so I would make you look good. And that's why they put us together like that. But it's a blessing. Well, Romans chapter 5, I'm going to select a verse there that I believe will give us a theme to go on and something we can hang the other verses upon in structure, and that would be verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, now that's been covered from the previous chapter. The next phrase says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to relate the rest of the chapter to here. Is we now have peace with God. If I were to go up to a lost person that was unchurched and say, let me tell you how you can have peace with God. Let me tell you how you can have peace with God. I think he might say something like, I didn't know I didn't have peace with God. I didn't know that I needed peace with God. I don't understand why you would say that to me. Well, if it was not for the Bible, we wouldn't understand our need for peace with God. The Bible tells us that. The Bible gives us that information, along with many, many other things. If it weren't for the Bible, we'd be in terrible condition because we could not understand so many things that God sets forth. Now, I want us to look at this chapter and relate it to this matter of peace with God. Let's look first of all in verse number 10, and that is the implication of the verse. If we need peace with God, evidently we're at enmity with God. If peace is needed, then peace is absent. If there's no peace, there must be enmity. Verse number 10, for if then, When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now, the world doesn't understand you were an enemy of Jesus Christ. And without salvation, you are an enemy to God. Now, they wouldn't understand because they would use the term enemy as someone that is hated. It doesn't mean that God hates us because we're the enemies. It means that we are in conflict with the direction of God. As an enemy of God, everything God's for, we're against. Everything God's against, we're for. That's why the Bible says, if you're going to be friends with this world, you're going to be at enmity with God. You're going to be in cross directions with God constantly. Your direction is going to conflict with God. It's not that God hates sinners. God loves sinners. But they're at enmity with Him. Their direction is cross-purposed. I love a message. I don't preach it too often because it doesn't have 3 points. And that's, you know, I keep searching for something else. But the verses talk about this present evil world. And it's mentioned 3 times. This present world is mentioned 3 times. One time it says that the danger of this world. Okay? The direction of this world. And it says that the Lord Jesus Christ came that we might be delivered from this present evil world. This world is going the opposite direction of God, and if we don't get delivered from it, we're going to end up with it in judgment. So that's what he's trying to tell us here. You're at enmity with God. You're on the train of the world. And if you're not delivered from that, if you don't get off of that, you're going to go where that train takes you. Amen. But then I'll let you study the other 2 times that it's mentioned. But it talks about our duty toward the world, that we are to be separated and live godly in this present world as examples to others. And then it talked about the danger of it when he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. So being in the world puts us at enmity with God. And that's everybody. That's just not bad, ugly, vicious people. Until we're delivered from this world, we're part of this world. And we're part of the judgment that this world is going to realize. I'm not trying to pick fights with anybody, but every once in a while you'll hear a church and their statement is that we are turning the world around or we're winning the world. We're not going to turn the world around. This world is on a judgment course with God. It's going to happen. When you read the book of Revelation, we're not going to change that. This world is on a course, a collision course with the judgment of God. God nowhere tells us to save the world. God nowhere tells us to turn the world around. God says, for us to get people delivered from this present world. Get them, and the word delivered there is the same word as if we'd be talking about a child being born. Taken out, delivered from this present evil world. So if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So the implication of peace with God is we were enemies. Now, look at verse number 12. How did we become enemies? The source of enmity. Verse number 12. If you used to talk to unlearned people, untaught people, what did I ever do to become an enemy of God? Well, the main thing you did when you were born. I've had people say, I've never killed anybody. I've never done this. But I've never had anybody say, I wasn't born. We're all born. Look at it. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. This is where the enmity came. We weren't enemies in the garden. Adam and Eve were not at enmity. They walked with God and talked with God in the cool of the day and enjoyed the fellowship with God. There was no enmity there. But then they sinned. And their course became in conflict with God's course. And they became the first enemies of God. As by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I think this is one thing that people misunderstand, and we got our dog barking lesson last night about. You know, well, preacher, I don't do bad things. You're not a sinner because of what you do. You're a sinner because of who you are. Amen. There again. Well, I've never done this. But were you born? Yes. Then you receive that fallen, sinful nature from your father. And he received it from his father. And he received it from his father. That is why you don't have to teach children to sin. Now, I'm a proud grandfather. I've got one grandchild that's 3 years old, and I've got one that's 22 years old. So I've got the whole gambit of them there. The 22-year-old, we do our best to help out, and the 3-year-old is just for fun. He's just fun. Ellen came to me when she realized she was expecting, and a little while later, she came to me and she said, Daddy, we'd like to name the boy Randall Isaac. Would that be okay with you? I said, let me pray about it. Yes. Yes. That'd be okay. But he's just like all the rest. Nobody has to teach him to sin. He will come out of the kitchen with chocolate running down his chin, and you say, did you get in that pie? No. By the way, it's not good to say, did you? The thing to say is, why did you get in that pie? You're giving them an avenue to lie if you say, did you? Who taught him to lie? Nobody. It's in his nature to lie. It's in his nature. We were at Aaron's last night having pizza, and the girls were playing cards down on the carpet in some kind of children's game and everything, and it went real well for about 3 minutes. And then they begin to say, that's my card. You cheated, one of them said. And Aaron said, we're having fellowship here, children. And who taught them to be angry? It's in the nature. Aaron did not do that. Now. That's not nice. Who taught Aaron? It's in our nature. And people don't understand that. People don't understand that it's not your activities is your problem. That's why even good people still got a problem. It's not your activities. You're doing your activities because of the nature of your being. Now, some people are more cultured than others. Some people have better backgrounds than others. Some people have been raised better than others. But we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we become in conflict with God's ways. We become enemies of God. The implication, we're enemies. The source of the enmity is verse number 12. Through Adam, by one man sin entered into the world. And that's the way we inherited that nature. Have you ever... Sometimes we use the illustration for children and seeing it in them. But we never outgrow that. We never outgrow that fallen nature. Even as saved people. Have you ever had some thought come through your mind? Bam! And you say, where did that come from? My soul! Where did that come from? We're still in this human body. And that battle is a continuous one, and that's a message for another chapter. But just the constant warfare of the spiritual man and the physical man. So the source of the enmity is in verse number 12. Verse number 8 is the condition of peace. What does this? When we receive Christ and we become in harmony, we become in parallel, we could say, with God. We're back reconciled unto God. Now, sometimes I think that word is abused. We use it in human terms rather than biblical terms. We think of reconciliation is what takes place in the marriage. You know, you and your wife are fighting and fussing and everything, and you call the preacher in, and he says, well, let's get this thing reconciled. Now, you give a little, and you give a little, and we keep giving a little, and we'll get back reconciled. That's not what the biblical term means. God is all right, and we're all wrong. Now, in any marriage, that's not the case. In any marriage problems, both of you got the things you got to deal with. But God, being reconciled to God, is not getting God to give a little and me to give a little and we meet somewhere. To be reconciled, that we're not enmities to God, we're not enemies of God, we've got to come to His way, not meeting in the middle somewhere. To become reconciled and we're no longer the enemies of God, we get back in God's pattern and away from our own. Verse number 2, if we could. Verse number 8, we said, the condition. Anytime enemies become friends, there's some kind of condition met. When war is over, there's a peace conference. There's some understandings that are come to. Verse number 8, but we commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For what purpose? That we might be reconciled to Him. That we would no longer be the enemies of God, but that we could get back in parallel with God and going the way that God goes. That is the condition of peace. Now, I'm not going to get into any Civil War discussions or arguments. But really, we're still discussing conditions of peace with the South and the North. And I'm not sure it's reconciled yet, okay? Amen. Someone said, we didn't lose the war, we are regrouping. And that may be the case, I'm not sure. But there's conditions. Well, God, I'll just admit you might be right. That's not the condition of peace. Okay, I'll go get baptized. That's not the condition of peace. You can't find peace with God. You will always be at enmity with God until you come on God's terms, not your terms. You come God's way, not your way. That's kind of contrary to our pride, isn't it? We want to hold over a little bit. Well, God, don't be unreasonable now. As the preacher said a while ago, we want a little bit of us in it. God says, nothing to do with you. Give up on it. Let it go. The conditions of peace is that I do it all and you accept what I've done. That's the conditions. But Lord, let me have a little contribution here, son. No. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, not cleaned up, not straightened up, not some promises made, not some conditions made, not some commitments signed. No. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And on those terms, He'll make peace with us. No other terms will work. You see, we had lost the war so bad. All we could do is accept whatever the terms are. Whatever the terms are. God, you just tell me. I want to no longer be an enemy of God. I want to be a friend of God. So there's the condition. And then future relationship of peace. Peace changes everything. Peace changes everything. When we're under conviction and we know that we are abiding under the wrath of God and the judgment of God is impending, and we know that, it impacts every area of our life. I mean, everything is tainted by that knowledge that God is there, and that we are crossways with God, and we're not His friend, we're His enemy, and we're in conflict with God constantly, and it constantly disturbs and agitates. But when peace with God comes, it changes everything. It'll change your sleep habits. It'll change your language. It'll change your attitude. It revolutionizes everything in your life. That's what the first five verses are about. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Colon. Now here comes the list that follows that statement. By whom we also have access. You see, when we were enmity to God, when we were the enemies of God, the door to God was closed. You don't approach God. You don't approach God. You have no place. You have no privilege. And the first thing that happens when we're no longer the enemy, but the friend of God, being reconciled by God, He opens the door. He just opens the door. He says, now you have access. One of the things that so many people misunderstand and can't understand is lost people praying. Now, God can hear anything He wants to, but there's no promise to any lost person that God's going to hear your prayer. As a matter of fact, you don't have the proper equipment to pray. So, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? God is a spirit. Okay? Bible tells us that. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him, communicate with Him, deal with Him, must do it on a spiritual level. God is a spirit, and our spirit is gone. Our spirit is dead until we're born again and quickened by the Spirit of God. So a lost person trying to communicate with God is like me having a radio here trying to get a television picture to come through it. It's the wrong equipment. When we get saved, we're born again, indwelled by the Spirit of God, and we can deal with God on a spiritual level, on a spiritual term. So those that believe have the approach, the access into God. What a privilege that is. What a wonderful one. God throws the door open and says, come, anytime. Anytime. I'm ready to talk. I'm ready to hear you. We'll talk anytime. So we could spend hours there on the privilege of access by faith into the grace. Not only do we have access, but we have access to the grace of God. Now, sometimes we apply that just to salvation. We're saved by grace through faith, and we understand salvation grace. But can I tell you, every communication you have with God, every way in which you interact with God is a result of the grace of God. Everything comes through grace. When we pray, We pray and we're given answer to our prayer by the grace of God. Yeah, when we need help, that access into the grace wherein we stand that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find that help in our time of need. Have you ever gone to someone? Maybe you were having transmission problems, and you say, "Do you know anybody in the transmission business?" Well, I know a man. Sometimes the jewelry people like to advertise, "You know someone in the diamond business." Well, can I tell you this? Whatever need there is, you have one at the throne of grace that's in that business. You got a health situation, he's a physician. You got a financial situation, you go to the one who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Amen. Whatever your situation, you can buy, but because you're no longer at enmity, you're no longer in conflict, you're in unison, you're in parallel with God, you're now a friend of God, now you have access into the grace wherein we stand. It's available. And you have the seven things there that Scofield lists as the seven results of justification. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice. We finally got a hope. We finally got a hope of the glory of God. When we were at enmity with God and enemies of God, we were without hope. There wasn't anything at the end of the tunnel that we were expecting to be good news. And there's something that I found out in our marriage, and I'm very serious about this. It's a blessing in our relationship, my relationship, my wife, when we have something to look forward to. When we've got something out there on the calendar that we're anticipating, it's a vacation or it's a purchase or it's just something we got out there. It's just nice to have something to look forward to. And when you get that behind you, put something else out there on the calendar and have it to look forward. When we were enemies of God, there was absolutely nothing to look forward to. Nothing. "Oh, preacher, I'm going to get a new job," or "I'm going to get a raise," or... That's a poor thing to be looking forward to. What do we have now? We have access to this hope. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I don't have it on my calendar when He's coming back, but I have the hope of the glory of God. Amen. Carol and I have got some plans, and it's okay with me if God interrupts those plans and just comes right on. Amen. What He'll do for us is better than anything we could do for ourselves. Don't you feel sorry for people who are the enemies of God and there isn't anything out there that they can look forward to? Anything out there to give hope and to give rejoicing. It goes on. Not only so, we glory not only in the hope, but we glory in tribulations. We glory in tribulations. Well, preacher, bad things can happen. Sure can. But whatever comes down the road has come through the hand of God. And I can glory in tribulation. I never preached a message here. But in the Old Testament, there's a text that says, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Now, I'm not going to get into the prophecy of that. I just like the practicality of it. This is the day the Lord's made. Get up every morning and rejoice. But there's another verse that says, don't count too much on tomorrow, because you don't know what a day may bring forth. Boast not thyself. How do you get up in the morning rejoicing in that day when you don't have a clue what might happen that day? I'll preach that message sometime. Right here, we're simply told, if it comes, tribulation comes, we'll glory in that just like we do in the hope. Amen. Thank God for it. A couple other things and we'll finish up. We glory in tribulation, and then knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. You see, the door that's opened when we're no longer enemies of God, we're friends of God. Again, let me make sure you understand. Being the enemy, that doesn't mean God hates us. It just means we're going in the wrong direction. We're going in the wrong direction. So the future of the relationship is in verse 2 through 5. And then lastly, the benefits of peace in verse number 9, if you look down. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. I shared this with the pastor some time ago, some people that we are mutually friends to of. Was talking with me the other day, and they said, you know, we're going in a different direction right now. I said, really? Yeah, we have come to believe that we're going to go through the tribulation. And we are storing food and purifying water and building shelters and buying guns because we're going through the tribulation. Thank God we're not going through the tribulation. If we didn't have anything else, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. We're not appointed under wrath. We're going to be gone. Amen. Why? We're no longer the enemies of God. The wrath is going to be poured out on the enemies of God. And before He pours out any wrath on enemies, He's going to take His friends out. Amen. So I thank God that peace with God is not just a little cliche we use, but it's a dynamic that can change our life when we understand we're no longer in conflict. We're now in harmony with God. Pastor, thank you.
Oh, we got to sing. If you know it, sing along with me. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than song. In celestial like strains, it unceasingly flows o'er my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In boundless billows of love.
Don't you like that? Boundless billows of love sweep over my spirit. Thank you, Dr. Parker. The peace that the Lord gives, and the benefits that come of grace. Man, man alive. Well, we're going to get in tonight. Tonight we begin this conflict and this victory as believers dealing with sin. And the relationship with sin that we now have, and the victory over sin, that we are indeed dead to sin. For many years, I offered that Becky and I would take anyone to dinner, to a steak dinner, or whatever you wanted to eat. anyone who would memorize and quote word perfect Romans chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 3. If you would memorize and quote word perfect those two chapters, we'd go out and have a steak dinner. It's been a long time since I offered that. It's been a long time since I've had anybody take me up on it. But I believe I would do that still. So if tomorrow morning you're ready and you've memorized those two chapters, by then, why, come and do that. But Romans chapter 6 tonight, I believe Brother Pauly, right? Romans chapter 6. You've got the second half of it. You have the second half of Romans 6. I hope Brother Wallace knows he has the first half. Okay. Have you talked with him? Okay. I better check with him on that and make sure we don't have... No, I'm sure it's right. The thing that I had here... My schedule's not right, perhaps. Does anybody have the thing from Sunday that was in the bulletin? Who's preaching first tonight? Very good. That's the way it ought to be. Okay. All right. Well, let's stand together and let's have a word of prayer. And we're going to ask God to bless the food. And I assume that everything is ready back there. Shane, is that where you've been back there checking out the food? Is it? Yeah, everything's okay? Have you already eaten? Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's pray. Father, what a joy to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. And Father, I thank you that we have truly today and all the way and will be all this week in waters to swim in. We'll be all of us are in over our head in this thing. But Father, I pray that you will help us to glean from it the joys of the peace you have given. Father, of the identification with you, of the faith and the Father of the faithful. And Father, I thank you for what you've done, for what you're going to do. Now, Lord, I thank you for the people that have prepared the food today. I ask your blessing upon it. I pray that you'll bless our fellowship around the tables and make the food a blessing to our body's use in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. And I hope everyone will stay and have a bite to eat. And it won't take long. I think it's ready. And so you'll be ready to go right in and get your plate and sit down. And don't feel an obligation to stay around unless you want to. But you're perfectly welcome to. Tonight, 7 o'clock.